I remember feeling like my dad when I first put my glasses on. I could suddenly see all the words clearly on a page. Oh, that's amazing! And I remember my dad when he got his glasses, and I thought, yeah, it's exactly the same, isn't it? I don't know. But anyway, we'll be all right. I know most of my message. Where is it? There it is. I can find it. Anyway. It's like two Ronnies, isn't it? No, that's a hat stand. Anyway. Well, good. Praise the Lord. All change one day. All be restored, won't it? Are you forgiven? Are you restored? That's the question. You know, talking about just being blessed through small things, you know. A small packed lunch blessing 7,000 people. Tremendous in the Saviour's hands. Well, standing next to Nathaniel there last week, and we were singing, I've forgotten the last line, my memory's going as well. Anyway, what were we singing? Where we dance, you know, we dance in heaven before the throne, you know, that one. I forget the first line of it. But, and as we were singing it, he sang it really clearly, and I heard his voice, words really clearly, sort of dancing together in heaven before God. And, that stopped me in my tracks, actually, and really hit me there. And I told him this, and it made me have a little weep, actually. It was so beautiful, so beautiful, so special. And I thought, you know, what is the point? What is the point if we don't know that we will all be in heaven rejoicing before God, you know? What is the point? I mean, he's a family member. He knows a lot about the Bible and, you know, he has a pretty good faith. But you think, wow, you know, family members unsaved, people that you love unsaved. What is the point? I don't know whether you're saved here this morning or not, but you know, all these songs I've chosen are gospel cross-oriented, and that's the reason. Have you been to Jesus? Are your garments washed? Are you forgiven? Are your sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fit for heaven? Are you walking daily at the Saviour's side? It's the only way. Rejoice before God in heaven. If you've got people that seem intractably opposed to the gospel, you know, keep praying, you know, keep praying. History says that people change when they continue to be prayed for. You know, that's what it says. Pour out your heart before God. Give people to God, and he'll change them and bring them to him, bring them to himself. So, yeah, that was blessed my heart. Right, we're coming to God's Word. And if you have your Bible, that would be great. And we're going to read, not from Psalm 22, that illustrates something that I wanted to speak from, but from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're just going to read verses 23 to 26. This was brought to my mind last Sunday. We had communion, didn't we? And there was a particular thing that jumped out at me, and I thought, it just struck me at the time, a particular word. If you're reading an NIV, I'm sorry, this word isn't actually there. So there's a different word. It's just a translation thing. But that's just a little by the by, okay? I'm going to stick with what's in this one. So it depends on the translation that you're reading, okay? So verse 23 of chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." If you're reading in NIV, it will say, "given for you." "Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." I mean, it's that word broken that leapt out at me, that jumped and struck me. And I was just obviously thinking about preaching this week, and I thought I would like to preach on that and speak on that. So let's just have a little word of prayer before we come to that. Father in heaven, we ask your blessing now as we look into your word, that you would teach us and touch us and transform us through it, Lord, please. Perhaps we've not heard a message preached before, perhaps very few. Holy Spirit, will you come and speak in living tones from your word and bring people to yourself, we pray, Jesus. And the youngsters, as they're out listening to your word, speak on in their hearts, Lord, we ask, in living tones unto life. Your name, sir. Amen. Amen. Right. This is my body broken for you. Mark Twain said this. I don't know much about Mark Twain, but he's famous for saying things, isn't he? He said this: never allow someone to be your priority while you allow yourself to be their option. Never allow someone else to be your priority while allowing yourself to be their option. So that's a good way of protecting yourself, isn't it? You know, you give. And you get very little back and think, okay, that's enough. We can understand what he means, you know, because maybe we've had that experience in our life. But what if the whole world was to be like that? A lack of altruism, a lack of otherness in our lives. The Jesus children have J-O-Y, this is what it means. Jesus first, yourself last, others in between. You know, what would it mean if we said, okay, like this, I'm going to protect myself first, others second. Okay. I'm not going to be other people's option and loss, keeping myself first. We were maybe not to have teachers. Nature to say, half these kids just won't listen today, what's the point? I'll give half a lesson. I don't want to get used by them. Doctors with that, the same people come back with maybe some lifestyle choices and so on, come back with the same things. They say, you know what, I've treated you 20 times already. You just got a drain from the NHS up here. Farmers, do you know how much food supermarkets chuck out the end of the day? Do you know how much goes in bins like that? You know, I'm bothered, I'll get that 4 o'clock in the morning to plant fields. Well, they can get hungry and eat what they've got. What if that were the strap line of the church? Never allow someone else to become your priority whilst allowing yourself to be their option. It wouldn't be very attractive for him, would it? It'd be a very attractive tool. And what if that were God's mindset to this plan? In actual fact, that's what happens on an enormous scale for God. We are his priority, while we, largely, just look at him as our option. On other top billions of people, that applies to today. But thankfully, that is not the case. God is not like that. Someone else, unknown, said that it is only with true love and compassion that we can begin to mend what is broken in the world. Only with true love and compassion that we can begin to mend what is broken in the world. We can say amen to that, wouldn't we? We can say amen to that. If somebody showed us true love and compassion, Jesus primarily began to mend what was broken in us. So we come to this passage. This is my boy who's broken. Hold those words for a moment and just think about what they mean for you. What do they mean to you? What do they mean for you that Jesus' body was broken for you? If you're uncertain, that's okay. It's okay, hopefully, to be a bit more clear on that by the end of this. The fact that his body was broken for us, given for us. What did it mean to Paul? He wrote those words. We look at the scripture, and the scholars amongst you will say, we know technically, of course, you may look over the top of your glasses, but technically, of course, it says that not a bone of Jesus' body was broken. And that is true. Passover lamb, and the situation was that it was blemishless, and that in sacrificing it, not a bone, body, a bone in his body would be broken. And that runs through scripture, and the fulfillment of that is seen there in John 19, verses 31 to 37, it says that the scripture might be fulfilled.
Sorrow, his understand now why in some translations it says, this is my body broken for you. And of course there's a crown of thorns on his head. Isaiah 52:14, really that Isaiah 53 just begins a few verses before it, 52. 52:14 says, in the NIV it says, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man. broken hearts, broken lives, broken promises, broken dreams, broken relationships, broken marriages, broken homes, broken minds, broken spirits, broken wills, broken laws, broken societies. If we look at some nations, we'd say they're broken. All this brokenness, and all because we broke the law of God. God said, do not do this, and we broke it. And after that, every other form of brokenness flows from that. We broke our relationship with God, and therefore we can just expect everything else that we touch afterwards not to turn to God, but to turn to brokenness. And that's borne out in our society today. Chapel Road became a newspaper, that new newspaper. But anyway, I had an article in it about Britain's young carers. Carers who are looking after parents who are ill, addictions and problems and so on. Down the spine, there's this little boy, he's got two shopping bags, so you can say he's there already. And he's not even tall enough. He's getting up and down the spine. He's like, oh. Whenever you needed an illustration that something was broken, just look at that. So then if the world is that broken, then Jesus came to bind up or to mend. It's interesting, doesn't it? He doesn't say he comes to completely heal straight away, but to bind up, what it means, bound up. It's in a healing process, isn't it? That's the thing. And to bind up the broken heart. So when we come to a broken world, God looks at the broken world and he says, I have to break something. I have to break something in order to improve all this brokenness, in order to atone for all this hurt, pain, distress, and sin, and corruption, the barrenness of people's lives. So it breaks the body of his son, and all those blessings that we force now, they flow to us, bring healing to us, bring deliverance from sin, and bring some release and deliverance from things that have bound us before. The problems of life that count from our life into our new redeemed life. Helps us and binds us up in the places better and well. So we take the gospel, the good news of a broken body to a broken world, knowing that as we take that message, this Saviour can quench thirsty souls, bring light to those in darkness, fill those who are empty, feed those who are just emaciated, spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, make fragrant that which was bind up that which is broken, save and deliver from evil, that which is in peril. That's what the broken body of Jesus does for us. This is my body, broken for you. Have you received the fact that Jesus is broken for you? Have you received those blessings? Maybe there's a point in your life now and you think to yourself, wow, do you know what? There are many more blessings in the broken body of Jesus than I realize. Maybe I can avail myself of those things. Things start healing up.